When we turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus, and particularly to the 20th chapter, you know what we will encounter there. We will encounter the Ten Commandments, well known to us. This morning, we consider only one of them. So listen, if you will, to the 8th through the 11th verses of the 20th chapter, where we encounter the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've been talking for the past couple of weeks about the Get My People Going program. You read about it in your bulletin. You heard Debbie speak of it a few minutes ago. I hope you are planning to participate in Get My People Going. And to focus for a bit on the things we've been focusing on here. Bread for the journey, water for the journey, and today, rest for the journey. It may surprise you to find out how significant and how important rest for the journey is, at least in the mind and in the plan of God. Do you realize that of all of those Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the longest one, the one that receives the most attention, the one where there are the most words encouraging, describing, explaining it to us, the longest one is the fourth commandment. This one, the one that we are focusing on today, the one that calls upon us to do one simple thing, take a day of rest. It fascinates me that God has more to say in the Ten Commandments about taking a day of rest than he does about anything else. About adultery or murder or stealing. There are 94 words in this commandment, making it longer than any other. It's as if God is saying, you got to pay attention here. I've got more to say about this one than anything. It also makes me think that God was aware from the very beginning that this is the one we'd have the toughest time with and the hardest time hearing and implementing. I don't have a great deal of trouble not killing anyone. And it's really not too much of a stretch for me to avoid stealing. But I do have a struggle. I do have a tough time when it comes to honoring the Lord's day and keeping it. And God tries to explain it more fully, as if to say, I'm deadly serious about this. We have to face it, sisters and brothers. In order to keep this command, in order to receive and respond to what God is telling us regarding a Sabbath day, we have to literally swim against the riptide of the cultural current we face today. Because today, in the world in which we live, Sunday is a fun day. It's a day to kick back and do just about nothing if we choose. To take a day each week to focus on God, to listen to God's word for us, to give ourselves to serving in ways that God calls us to serve, seems to a lot of people to be just plain ridiculous. And a lot of those people, I'm sorry to say, are inside the church. Some years ago, I ran across a full-page ad in Newsweek magazine. Don't know how long ago it was, but full-page ad. And the thing that caught my attention about this ad was that in big letters at the top of the page, it said, Sunday morning. Well, that caught my attention real fast. Sunday morning. But listen to what it said through the rest of the page. Sunday morning, time to kick back, get comfortable, and perfect the art of doing nothing. The ideal companion, Pioneer's new CD disc player. You can now enjoy 6 hours of uninterrupted music without lifting a finger, and so on and on it went. Is that what Sunday is for? Is that what the Lord's Day is for? Just another day to kick back, fire up the grill, watch the game on the couch, play the sports of our choice? Is Sunday just another fun day, a day to do what we want, or is there more to it than that? The first four commandments, as we encounter them in Exodus, all deal with our relationship to God, and specifically with how we are to worship and serve God. The first commandment says we are to worship God singularly. He is the only God to be worshipped. Besides God, the God whom we worship, there is no other. The second commandment tells us we are to worship God spiritually. God is never to be worshipped through an idol or through something that is inanimate or dead, for He is God of the living. The third commandment tells us we are to worship God sincerely. We are never to take God's name in any flippant or unflattering way. And this commandment, the fourth one, tells us that we are to worship God steadfastly. There is a day each week that we are to set aside specifically to rest from the work that we typically do so that we can reconnect our lives, our spirits, our values with God and have our spirits nourished in the same way that we nourish our bodies through the week. This is one of only two commandments that's given in a positive form. Most of them are negative, thou shalt not. But this one is positive. This commandment deals with two concerns of everyday life, our work and our worship. On the one hand, work is a form of worship. But on the other hand, worship is the highest work that we can ever do. But we take it and we make it into a holiday. We have simply made Sunday the twin brother of Saturday. We go to the lake, we cut our grass, we wash our car, we treat it like any other day. Sunday is not intended to be just another fun day. It has a purpose and a focus beyond which we typically think. We observe a day of rest, it tells us in Exodus. We observe a day of rest because God rested on the seventh day. Now, God did not rest because God was tired. You've got to get that through your head. God didn't get tired and rest because He was pooped. God stopped working in order to enjoy the fruits of His labor, in order to step back and appreciate the beauty and the goodness of what He had done. Aren't there times that you long to do that? To be able to step back and survey what you have accomplished in a week or in a year or through your life. To appreciate the fruits of your labor. That's what God did. And He set an example for us to follow. Not only are we to work like God worked. Hard work, relentless work, creative work, energetic work. But sometimes, at least once a week, we are to stop working and rest as God did in order to enjoy the product of our labor and to reflect on and appreciate its beauty and goodness. You know, in the ancient world, when these Ten Commandments were given to Moses and God's people, in that ancient, and even in the time of Jesus too, there were no days of rest. There were no weekends or days off. There was no such thing as vacation as we know it and talk about it, at least for most people. The Sabbath command to the Hebrew people set them apart. More than anything else, the Hebrew people were different from all the people who lived around them. They were different because of this. They observed this day of rest, a day set apart to stop doing what we typically do and focus on God, our relationship with God, God's call to us, and the ways that we serve God. That made the Hebrews different more than anything else they were commanded or they did. And of course, they became a target of other people by that. It was one way they could be easily identified. And so you knew who a Jewish person was by the fact that they rested. They behaved differently on the Sabbath than they did any other day. It set them apart and more than anything else made them different. In the modern era, Sunday came into prominence. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Saturday is the Sabbath day. But Christians began early on to observe Sunday as the Lord's Day because it was the day upon which Jesus was raised from the dead. You remember very early on the first day of the week, the gospel tells us, the disciples found that the tomb was empty. Because the resurrection of Jesus became the center of our faith, the day on which it occurred became increasingly the focal point of the church's celebration and preaching. And the time came early on when Sunday became the day that differentiated Christians from the world around them, and even from our Jewish forebears. It became the Lord's Day, the day of worship, the day of service, the day of Sabbath for us. When Bill Gates, the billionaire, was asked why he didn't believe in God, here's what he said. This is fascinating. Here's what he said. Just in terms of allocation of time and resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Well, I heard that and I began to think, hasn't technology lied to us? Hasn't technology told us we'll make your life less cluttered, less busy, less controlled, less confusing? Well, most all y'all have a cell phone, don't you? And we all work with, most of us, we work with computers day by day. How's that working for you? Things are a lot less busy, aren't they? A lot less cluttered. Things are a lot easier. You got more leisure time, don't you? Right. Technology has lied to us. In our day, when we've been given so many such things to save us time, why do we have so little time for the things that really matter? Someone said that it seems that with all this technology we have all about us, that all we've really added is speed and noise to our life. We haven't added leisure and taken away any stress. If there's any time in history that we should not doubt that 10 commandments, and especially commandment number 4, were given for us, this ought to convince us. It has never been more important for us to set aside our work for some time and to devote some time to the spirit of life and to God. When I was a student, there was a new expression that was coming into common use. And one of my very wise teachers, had something to say about it. And I know you've heard it. We use it a good bit these days. When you've taken all you can take, when you've worked all you can work, when you can't go any further or any longer, when your body and your mind and your spirit are completely exhausted, you are burned out. You use that one? Burned out. That was something new back in those days, back in the mid-70s. We said we were burned out. And that became quite popular among us students, particularly as we were approaching exam week. We were burned out. But my teacher instructed us. He said, we are expected to think that the remedy for burnout is rest. Take a vacation. Take some time off. That's all you need. But he said, it's not that simple. We have to look for a more profound answer than that. One that reaches deeper into our lives, our spirits, and our souls. The antidote for burnout is not rest. The antidote for burnout is worship. That's what ancient people realized when they received this fourth commandment. And we need to rediscover it today, even more than they. That the antidote for burnout is setting our work aside for a day and focusing upon the God who made us and who deploys us into a world to do His work. A long time ago, when the broadcasting industry was still in its infancy, a letter was sent to NBC, National Broadcasting Company, and it was sent from an old prospector in the hills of Montana. He didn't have any fancy writing paper, so he wrote it on a piece of old brown paper bag that he had, and he folded it up and stuffed it in an envelope. And it contained a rather unusual request. This is what he said. "I am a regular listener to your programs, and as a friend, I want to ask you a favor. It gets lonely up here in the hills of Montana, and besides my radio and my dog, I don't have much else for company. I do have a violin that I used to play, but now it is badly out of tune. Would you please be kind enough at 7 o'clock next Sunday evening to strike me an A so I can put my fiddle back into tune?" Well, at first, the people at the network thought this was hilariously funny, and they passed it around through all the departments at NBC, and everybody got a big chuckle out of this old prospector's request. But there was a particular manager who thought about it for a bit longer. And as it happened, the next Sunday night, for just the briefest moment, they interrupted their programming right at 7 just to sound an A so that they could give their old friend in Montana the pitch he needed to put his violin in tune. Your life and my life has a way of getting out of tune and off pitch with all of the distractions and the competing values that we face every day in the world in which we live. Our life stands in danger of losing its harmony. We need to have someone who will sound us an A to help us get everything back into proper balance and proper pitch. Well, the Sabbath was made by God to give us that chance to listen for the pitch that God alone can give so that we can bring it all back into perspective, back into harmony, back into pitch with what God intended for us in our world, with what God intended for body and soul and life itself. The Sabbath, the Lord's Day, the one day in 7 that we are asked to set apart for holy purposes. It's not meant to be a grim affair, to carry it around like a millstone. It is an opportunity to remember. Did you catch it that the first word of the fourth commandment is remember? And when you remember something, you remember it. You put it back together. And that's what the Sabbath is for us. It's a time to remember, to put life back together as God intended it from the time of creation. In the midst of the maddening whirl of our day-to-day routines, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is an opportunity to put it back together, to remember that God is with us, that God is involved in whatever it is that you and I encounter, that God revels and celebrates our work, our creativity, and our accomplishments. But God also provides a time of rest and harmony and peace for us. Remember the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. Amen.